You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Favor, I want you to take a deep breath in and slowly let it out. Now we're going to turn the direction 180 degrees. I want you to remember one of your most joyful memories. What happened? Who was with you? How did you feel? Father in heaven, we have these powerful connections to our past memories. And we realize in our lives there are moments of trauma and hurt and grief, and there are moments of great joy and abundance and grace. And so, Lord, we thank you that you walked with us in those moments of great joy, and we thank you that even though we might have felt you weren't with us, you walked with us all the same in those moments of heartache or grief or pain. Thank you that you're the Lord of all of our lives, good and bad. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a really powerful connection to our past, don't we? I mean, a really powerful connection to our past. You know, some of us get stuck in the nostalgia of our past. Talking about what was, you know what I mean? Back then, when I had the body of a Greek god. That's right. You know, get a little swagger going. You know, some of you, you're living still in the trauma of your past. That thing that happened X number of years ago. And you want to change history. You want to change what happened. You want to change the decision that you made or the way that it happened or the opportunity that you missed or the relationship that was broken or whatever it was, and you keep living there. Memories are a really, really powerful thing. The past is a powerful thing. We can remember the ways in which God has blessed us, has walked with us, has changed us, how God was good, how God was faithful, and we can also remember those traumatic moments and wondering in those moments, where was God altogether? Are you with me? I have a question for you, though. Who's ready for God to do something new in their life? Who's ready for God to do something new? Who's ready for the Spirit of God to be at work in your life, to heal you, to help you experience His love, to experience forgiveness, to experience transformation, to experience something new, to become holy as God is holy, to live into the purposes for which God created you, to find freedom? Who's ready for that life? Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Well, I have a very simple, powerful word for this new adventure in your life. It's so simple, you're going to think, oh my goodness, I woke up for this morning. But the simple, simple principle of God's divine power at work in your life is this. He's up ahead. I told you you weren't going to be wowed by it. But say it with me, He's up ahead. Yeah, He's up ahead. Now, it doesn't sound like much to you, but I promise you it'll change your life. And we're going to read from the book of Exodus this morning. Hear the scripture from Exodus 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages. according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Well, you know, for 400 years, Israel lived in brokenness and in bondage. The way that it happened was there was a famine in the land of Israel in a certain number of days, and they decided the place to go was Egypt. And thankfully, their ancestor Joseph was already up ahead waiting for them there to provide for them everything that would be needed for the journey in life. And so they were provided food and so on and so forth. And life was good for a little while until a new Pharaoh rose to power, the scripture says, who knew not of Joseph. And that's when life got really bad. Their entire existence was bound up in how many bricks they could make on a daily basis. Sometimes I know your jobs can feel just like that. How much output can I do today? And that was Israel's existence. And the problem with it was there was no freedom to go with that. They were commanded every day, here's what you're going to do, here's how much you're going to produce. And the only thing they could really look forward to was a little bit of water from the Nile and a few pots of meat to sit around to eat at night. Terrible, challenging way to live for 400 years. And then one day God said, "Let my people go." And the southern phrase, hot mess was born, because God brought plague upon plague over the land until eventually God passed over the people of Israel, and God struck down the firstborn in Egypt, and Israel walked right out the front gate with their freedom and all of the goods of the Egyptians, their livestock, gold, what have you. Now, the problem was this. At a certain point, they weren't going to like that a whole lot. And so sure enough, Pharaoh's army took off after them. They had the Red Sea in front of them and the army before them. And Moses cries out to God, "Hey, you better do something here." And sure enough, God bails them out at the Red Sea. They're delivered and they start the journey. Now, we would think that if ever there were a memory to hold on to, it would be the memory of everything that God did. Yes? I mean, we're not talking little things. We're talking Moses struck the Nile and turned to blood, and I wanted to be there the day of the frogs. That just sounds epic. Are you with me? I mean, all of these plagues come, and we would think that Israel would say, "Oh my goodness, we can deal with a little bit of heartache and hardship along the way. Look at everything that God has done. I remember when." Do you remember when the day the frogs came? Do you remember the day that we had the army at our back and God did this? And we went right on through. Do you remember that? But that's not what happened. Because nobody likes pain, do we? Nobody likes for their game plan to go south. And sure enough, that's what happened. They run out of water a short time later and they begin to grumble. I love this word, grumble. Because it's not some well-articulated diatribe about why you're mad. It's, it's like when you tell your kids to eat their vegetables. Or when you say, "Hey, it's time to mow the lawn." Or, "Did you get your homework done?" That's grumbling. Are you with me? That's grumbling. And so the people of Israel, they begin to grumble. "Hey, God, where's the water?" And it keeps going from there. They run out of food. There's no food where they're at. And they grumble and they say this, "Would that we had died." That's pretty final. "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt when we had meat pots and ate bread to the full. But you brought us out here into the wilderness to kill us." Really? What happened to Red Seas and plagues of frogs? You would think they would have remembered everything that God had done for them, but that's not what happens. They grumble. Have you all ever noticed that between brokenness and blessedness, there's a stop at bleakness? Between what was and what will be, you have what is. And we often don't like what is, do we? There's grumbling at bleakness. There's grumbling in the present. In fact, we're told in Exodus chapter 17 at Rephidim there was no water, and so they started to quarrel with Moses. Give us water to drink. Between brokenness and blessedness, there's always a stop at bleakness. Between the past and the future, there's a stop at the present. Between what was and what will be, there's what is, and a lot of times we don't like what is. We grumble. Like waiting in line at a store. Like rush hour traffic. Like when things for your favorite team don't go in the direction you want them to. We grumble. You brought us out here to die. Our kids, our livestock. Take us back. Egypt was so much better. No, it wasn't. It was horrible. Why do we always want to go back? Why would we prefer a past that was unfulfilling instead of a future that's uncertain? Because it's comfortable. Because we know what's going to happen every day. Because there's a pot of meat and water from the Nile River, and I know I'm going to make bricks. And it's sad, but that's what we tend to pick, is the past over the future. And we muse about it like it's this wonderful experience, but that's not always the way that it went. They said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us, our children, our livestock with thirst? This is terrible. And we tend to talk about the glory days as if they were the best thing that ever was, but it wasn't all glory days. It's like a group of guys sitting around eating wings at B-Dubs. You know, I remember when I could eat 1,500 of these things. And not wake up at 1 a.m. with acid reflux. Yeah? I remember when I could run 17 miles in 6 minutes uphill both ways. No, you couldn't. Well, we tend to aggrandize those glory days, don't we? But they weren't all glory. They were full of zit cream and bad dates and girl drama. And crazy homework assignments, and cars that break down on the way to a band concert, and the band teacher was not very, very happy along the way. It wasn't all perfect. It just was. And so we camp out there, and we keep living and talking about memory lane. What if memory lane, friends, is the very thing that keeps you from the future that God has in store for you? Some of you are still talking about what was. And God is more interested in what will be. You can go back to Egypt. You already know what's there. You can stay in the bleak moment of Rephidim, but that's a place without resources. Really, what we're called to do is go on to Horeb. That's where God's presence and power live. That's where God shows up, where God does something new, where God is on the move. And that's why I love the scripture today, because Moses is in this bleak place. He's at this place called Rephidim. There's nothing there. There's no water. They haven't had any food. Everybody's mad. The kids are grumbling. I know this. And what I love is we almost miss it in the scripture. This wonderful verse. So Moses cried out to the Lord. That's what changes everything, isn't it? I wonder why prayer tends to be our last resort rather than our first line of defense. Has it really come to that? I've been in some meetings where that's what people... Have we really gotten to the prayer part? Why is it our last resort instead of our first one? Moses cried out to the Lord, what are we going to do? These people, they're ready to stone me. I've had that prayer before. God, this is not good here. A little help down here. Faster would be better, but okay. He cried out, and Moses, he's had a lot of experience in doing that. At a burning bush, he started crying out, "I don't think it's me. You need to send somebody else." And then along the way, when Pharaoh starts the inventory rise because he didn't want to talk about letting his labor force go, Moses is crying out. And then along the way, at the Red Sea, he's crying out. And then along the way, when they run out of food and water, he's crying out. Moses is crying out all the time, "God, help me." And what I love is God provides a word for him. And what he says is, "Every good thing is up." You get it. I told you it didn't sound like much, but I'm telling you, there's a lot here. Every good thing is up ahead. The Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people." In other words, it is time for you to leave the grumbling and start living into the future that I have in store for you. And take with you some of the elders. Take with you people who are committed to the journey, who want to see the power and the presence of God at work in their lives and in your life. Those are the people that you want to go with you along the way. Take those people with you. And by the way, take in your hand that staff that you struck the Nile with, because I'm getting ready to do something good. And just so you didn't miss it, Moses, go. Get going. And I'm going to meet you ahead. I'm going to be there at Horeb. When you strike the rock, water's going to come out of it. And he says somewhere in the middle of this, it's going to be epic. Because that's what God does. He's always drawing us forward. Have you noticed that? He's pulling us. Come on. I'm calling you from ahead into the future state of blessedness that I have for you. And I'm not talking about some kind of prosperity gospel. I'm talking about the road of sanctification. That God loves us the way that we are, but too much to leave us the way that we were. I'm calling you ahead. I'm calling you to more. I have a purpose and a plan for your life. And you keep wanting to go back to Egypt. You want to grumble about your present circumstances. You want to talk about what was and what is. But I'm the God of what will be. So let's go. I'm up ahead. And the beauty of the passage is, he's quite literally only 15 miles up ahead. How often in our lives is God so much closer than we give him credit for, but we've got to take a step along the way when he calls us? See, I think sometimes we wonder about this life with God as if God is going to magically do everything for you. Maybe that's been your experience. I would love to talk to you, but here's what I find. God says, "Hey, here's where I'm going. I'll give you the free will to choose if you're going to follow." Isn't that what Jesus says? He doesn't say, "Hey, I'm going to coerce you. You're going to do this." He says, "Hey, come follow me. Are you going to do it or not? Choice is yours. Here's where I'm going. I'm up ahead. I got an amazing future for you. Are you going to live into it, or are you going to remain a tax collector or a fisherman or a zealot or whatever else along the way? Because here's where I'm going. You in? I'm up ahead." And so many people, they miss it because they're fixated on the past or their present bleakness. And what the Lord has and is saying to us is so simple. Quit the grumbling and get going because I'm up ahead. That's where I am. I want to not just be the Lord of your soul. I want to be the leader in your life. I don't just want to be the Sunday morning part of you. I want to be the everyday part of you. And some of you, you're stuck right now. And you're wondering, like, why do I keep doing this? And you think about what was, and maybe there's a little bit of hope or dream about what will be, but you're stuck. And the reason you're stuck is this. God is never going to let you be comfortable in a place that you're not supposed to be. You know why? Because where is he? I told you, it didn't sound like much, but it's a lot. He's up ahead. And if you want to live into what God has for you, it's time to get uncomfortable. I don't think God cares about our comfort at all. I think he cares about our character. He's up ahead. So church, I have a word for you today. For 5 years, we've done crisis after crisis here at St. Luke. When I came here, I had a gorgeous head of dark hair. Okay? Now, I look like a sexy Q-tip. I'm going to get in trouble with that with Mandy later. And here's what I know. If I look back, I see the faithfulness and goodness of God in all of the almost 50 years here at St. Luke. I mean, the pastors and leaders you have in this community, oh my goodness, have they led you well. And God has been so faithful. God has been so generous. God has been so good. He's made a way for us. And you know what? It's time to get going. So here's the vision that we're going to unpack in these coming days. We're going to transform Methodism and lead the way. Now, what do you mean by that, Brian? I mean this. I think John Wesley was one of the most innovative people, not only in his time, but maybe ever. And the message never changes. The gospel doesn't change. Our theology is solid. We don't change that. But the methods should change in every generation. And that's what Wesley did in his time. He was innovative in the way that he presented the gospel, in the way that he raised up small group leaders, in the way that he did orphanages and everything else in his context to reach those people. So we're going to transform Methodism from being an institution to a movement again. Into being the kind of movement that invites people out of their brokenness and their bleakness into the future state of God's blessedness, where we become holy as Christ our Lord is holy. Where He changes our heart from the inside out, where He changes what we love, where He changes the way that we work, where He changes our time on our calendar and the money we spend out of our checkbooks. We're going to transform Methodism, and we're going to lead the way. Well, that sounds pretty arrogant, Brian. Maybe so. But I think there's other churches and other leaders just like us here at St. Luke who want to be the tip of the spear in leading the way to change the world. And I don't know about you, I would rather give my life to that with all of you here in Lexington, Kentucky, to change not only our city, but the world around, than talk about what was or what is. I'm interested in what will be. So He's up ahead. Are you ready? Because we are going to follow after Jesus hard. And we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and move in a powerful way. I hope you got your Nikes ready. Because we're going to follow Him with everything we got up ahead. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for the way that it confronts us in our brokenness. It meets us in our bleakness, and You long to draw us into Your blessedness. And God, we've got these powerful memories. Some have been great, and some have been so painful. Help us not to dwell there in the past. Help us to cry out to You and to follow You with all that we are and all that we have, heart, soul, mind, and strength, into the future that You have in store for us. And God, we know that we're going to need the strength of Your Spirit to meet us along the way.